He says it here in verse 1, for, or because, he is good. We have reason to praise and give thanks to God because he is good. Listen, he is good. God is good. He is good. It defines him. He is what defines what is good. The nature and character of God define what is good in himself, that is goodness, and anything that is opposed to himself, that is not like him, that is not good. He defines goodness. He defines holiness by his very nature. He is good. And brothers and sisters, he is good. He is so, so good to us. You know, sometimes people get tired of me saying it. Somebody asks how I'm doing, and a lot of times I'll say better than I deserve, and people kind of chuckle and go on, but that's the reality. I don't deserve any good thing in my life. What I deserve is to be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. I want to live with the realization that's what I deserve, but he is good, and his mercy endures forever. So because of Jesus and because he allowed me to put faith in Christ, I'm not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. I'm going to spend eternity with him because he's good. And because his mercy endures forever, his mercy isn't just for a little while, his mercy is forever. And listen, human beings aren't that way. Some of you are merciful at times, and sometimes you're not merciful. Sometimes parents have mercy on their children, but that mercy has limits. Amen? Sometimes governments have mercy on lawbreakers, but that mercy has limits. But God's mercy is not bound to us and our performance. God's mercy is bound to his goodness in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why his mercy endures forever. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are calling us tonight to praise the Lord and to give thanks to him. And we have great reason to praise and give thanks. Can I say also that our praise and thanksgiving can never fully express the greatness of God. We will never be able to sing of all his glory. You know, some people I've heard, I just don't get people. I've heard Christians complain about not wanting to go to heaven because they think they're going to get bored singing praise. Are you kidding me? Number one, I'm not convinced that all we'll ever do in heaven is stand around the throne and praise God. I believe that God has created and he has a heaven, a spiritual realm, a kingdom that has many things for us to enjoy forever. In the presence of God, the glory of Jesus, who is the light of that eternal realm, is not limited to one place. It permeates everything in the spiritual realm. And I'm just saying that we're going to do lots of things, but I'll tell you one thing. We're never going to get it tired of singing praise to the Lamb who was slain. There's no way any born-again person will ever tire of singing the praise of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. Because he's worthy. Because he alone is worthy. Look at verse 2. Our praise and thanksgiving can never fully express the greatness of God. Verse 2 says, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praises? The psalmist asked the question, I mean, who could say it all? Who could say all the things that God has done? And the answer is nobody. He says, who can show all of his praise? Who could show all of the songs that he deserves? This word praise in this particular place is the word we get hymn from. It's literally a laudation. It's a singing. It's a praise. It's a hymn. This is something that we sing to and about God. And we're never going to be able to show forth everything that can be sung about God. Listen, I don't care how many hymnals you get. There's not enough. Just like John said about Jesus, that he did more than I could ever write about. All the books in the world could never contain everything that Jesus Christ did in his life. Listen to me, friends. There's no amount of hymnals that could ever be written that will be able to contain all the great works of God. But listen, we get to try. We get to sing the old story. And we get to sing new songs to the Lord. And we get to sing and sing and sing all the days of our lives. We get to lift up our voices and praise to God. Oh, praise ye the Lord. We get to do that all the days of our life. And then one day, we'll take our last breath and open our eyes before our Savior, and we'll get to take up the song anew, and we'll get to sing his praise forevermore. Y'all go ahead and get excited about that if you want to, but I am. Psalm 40 and verse 5 says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee." I mean, we just can't. Psalm 40, verse 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee." There's no way all the things that God has done and all the good, just the thoughts God has had towards us, we can't add it up. You can put no number on what God has done. Most of you are familiar with John Newton. You know he wrote the song Amazing Grace. He wrote another song, and I want to read you just one verse from that song. It says, "Weak is the effort of our heart, and cold our warmest thought. But when we see thee as thou art, we'll praise thee as we ought." Newton said, our efforts, our best efforts are weak, and our warmest thoughts are cold. But when we begin to see you as you are, then we can praise you the way that we should. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times." You see, when we begin to praise God, when we begin to utter the mighty acts of the Lord, when we begin to show forth all his praise, it moves us to do right. It moves us to live lives that will glorify him, to keep judgment, to do good always. Verse 4 says, "Remember me, O Lord, with thy favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." And listen, the psalmist is just, he switched to a challenge and a call to the people of God, but then he turns to himself and says, "God, remember me. Remember your favor, your grace that you've had on me and for your people." He says, "Bring your salvation to me. There is no salvation apart from the Lord." And he says, "I want to remember you. And I want you to remember me so that I can see the good that you have given to your people, so that I can rejoice in the gladness of those people that you've made a nation, so that I can glory with your inheritance." And can I just tell you that all of these beautiful pictures the psalmist uses in the Old Testament, they apply to you today who are in Christ, because we are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. You see, God has done that in us, filthy Gentiles, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, through faith in his holy name. We are a new people. We are the people of God. We are chosen in Christ. We get to rejoice as those who have gladness as part of his people today. And the psalmist said, "Remember us, Lord, so that we can see your goodness and rejoice." And I want you to notice verse 6. "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly." Basically, from verse 6 down through verse 46, the psalmist outlines the sins of the people of Israel. I mean, he talks about how they rebelled against God in the Exodus. He talks about how they murmured against God, how they envied Moses, how they made the golden calf, how God was ready to destroy the nation of Israel and make a new nation out of Moses. And Moses stood in the gap to defend the people and the promises of God. About how they murmured against God and worshiped Baal and all the idolatry. And even verses 34 through 43 talk about the child sacrifice. They sacrificed their children to false gods. I mean, the wickedness that Israel went to, are you with me? Was right up there with the wickedness of the United States of America. And if you think the United States of America is not a nation sacrificing their children unto idols, they are. We are. It's the idol of self. Nevertheless, Verses 44 through 46 tell us, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. He heard their cry. He remembered for them his covenant. He repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives, even though they had rebelled against God and sinned against God. Listen to me. Even though they rebelled against God, even though they had sinned against God, even though they had committed iniquity against God, even though they had done wickedly against God, he was still good. And his mercy still endured forever. And that's why we're here tonight, because he's still good and his mercy still endures forever. Sinned, back in verse 6, means to miss the mark. That means that they sinned by practice, by what they did. Committed iniquity has the idea of being crooked or perverse. It means to sin by nature. We're sinners by nature. We sin because we are sinners. And they had done wickedly. It means lawlessness. That means sin by choice, by choosing to go against God. And brothers and sisters, we are all guilty of the same. So I want you to fast forward down to verse 47. And 48. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now you look at the end of verse 48 and you look at the beginning of verse 1. You notice something? It begins and ends with a hallelujah. And when the people of Israel would sing this song, it was written in a way by the psalmist so when they got to the end, they could start over again. And they would sing it round and round and round. Why? Because they wanted to learn it, because they wanted to remember it, because they wanted to continue to praise him from everlasting to everlasting. That was the picture. The psalmist created a circle because it showed how they continued to sin against God, but when they cried out to him, he continually had mercy for them and was good to them. And went over and over and over again. And brothers and sisters, we have the same blessings tonight. Praise God. I want you to look very quickly as we finish up tonight with the message at verse 47. Verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Most Bible scholars think that this was written during the Babylonian captivity, that while the people were scattered, while they were gone over into other nations, that this was written. We don't know exactly who. It's not attributed to David. We don't know exactly who wrote it. So this psalm may have been written during that time of captivity, and they're crying out to God, save us, gather us, bring us home. Why? So that we can give thanks to you. Save us so that we can triumph, so that we can have victory in thy praise. And I want to tell you this tonight. When we give thanks and we praise, God gives us victory. We are in the middle of a spiritual war. And that spiritual war is fought primarily in our minds. It starts there. The weapons of our warfare right here, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But it's also fought in our prayers, in our Bible study, and it's fought in our praise. In our praise, we triumph in our praise when we give thanks to God for his goodness to us. For his goodness to us. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to pray with me. And then we're going to attempt to do what the Word of God says to do. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord. We're going to sing unto the Lord. We're going to give thanks to his holy name tonight. Let's pray together.